Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we continue our sermon series on angels and demons by talking about the evil angels, the devil and his demons. The Bible says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Like the good angels, the evil angels are incredibly powerful, and there's a whole bunch of them. They want to hurt, they want to destroy us. In Mark 9, we see the destructive power of these evil angels. We see what they can do through the power of possession, but we also see the one who can defeat and protect us from these creatures, Jesus Christ, the Mighty One. I want to compare and contrast the work of the evil angels with that, the blessings and the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. The devil brings bondage, misery, and death. Number one, the devil brings bondage. Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Mark 9:17. The devil wants to make us slaves. He wants to put us in bondage to his will. Possession, bodily possession, is the most cruel and severe form of that. This poor boy was subjected to torture by the evil spirit that dwelt in him. I can't think of anything more terrifying than to have an evil spirit literally control your body, control your speech, to control all your actions. Demonic possession was more common in the days of Jesus. It is not a tactic that Satan uses often in our modern American culture. It does happen, but it's pretty rare. And there's lots of reasons for that. If you're interested in finding out more about possession, I encourage you to join us for our Bible class, The Great Deceiver, Sunday mornings at 8:45. And if you can't be there, you can watch it on Facebook. But there is a more common way in our culture that Satan puts people into bondage. We call it addiction, and it is definitely one of Satan's favorite tactics. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which has come to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to stand up under it. Addiction is when the devil twists and perverts one of the good things God has blessed us with and uses it to trap and enslave us. Now, we know a lot of the common ones in drugs and alcohol, gambling, even work can become an addiction. But all of us, because we're sinners and we have a sinful nature, can be tempted to be addicts to different things. All of us have a sinful nature, and that means all of us can be tempted into being addicted to something. Our greatest addiction is the addiction to sin itself. Jesus said, whoever sins is a slave to sin, and that's all of us. All of us are slaves to sin, and the devil loves that. He loves to see people enslaved. He loves to see people trapped by addiction. He loves to see people in bondage to sin, because sin brings misery and eventually death. Number two, misery. The devil brings misery. Mark 9:18. The man explaining to Jesus about his son. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Once again, look at the agony and misery this evil spirit makes the boy go through. It hurts him, it abuses him, throws him to the ground. He's foaming at the mouth. What he's going through is pure agony and misery. For him and for everybody who loves him. And the devil loves that. He wants your life to be short and full of misery, because that's who he is. Like a drug dealer, the devil promises good times, but the good times soon become addiction and pain and misery. The devil and his demons hate Christ. They hate you. They pretty much hate everything. And they want everyone to be as miserable and joyless as they are. They will do everything in their power to make our lives more miserable than they already are. And as I said, they would love to make it shorter, because the third thing that the devil brings is death. That's his ultimate goal. Mark 9:22. It is often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The devil and the other evil angels, their ultimate goal is death, both physical and spiritual death. The evil spirit took that little boy, threw him in the fire, water, tried to kill him. The devil also wants to destroy us, body and soul. Now the demons, they they do want to bring physical death. They love to inflict physical pain and death, and if it were not for the protection of God's holy angels and God himself, they would do so. As we can see from Job chapters 1 and 2, demons have many other ways of hurting us other than physical possession. They can inflict disease upon people just like the devil did to Job in chapter 2. They can cause wars and terror attacks. They incited the Sabians to come and destroy and steal Job's property. They can cause natural disasters. They killed all of Job's sons and daughters with a great wind. Maybe it was a tornado, maybe it was a derecho, but it caused the house to collapse and kill them all. These are what the devil is capable of doing, and probably much more than that. If it wasn't for the constant physical protection of God and his good angels, each one of us would be undergoing, well, I'm going to use a technical theological term. Each one of us would be toast. But thankfully, we do have the protection of God and his holy angels. Yes, the devil wants to destroy us physically, but of course he also wants to destroy us spiritually as well. He wants us to be separated from Christ for eternity. That way, the way they can do that is by separating you from God's words and sacraments, the means of grace. So sometimes the devil attacks you by causing pain or hardship or suffering, but sometimes the devil attacks you by giving you comfort. Or making it nice and easy for you to not go to church or to avoid the means of grace. Hey, don't worry about eternity. Live for now. You only live once. Eat, drink, have fun. Don't worry about eternity. That's a long way off. You just make yourself comfortable. You just settle down and make yourself comfortable. Sometimes the devil can be most dangerous when he appears as an angel of light. Make no mistake, the devil is your archenemy. He's like a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. And he wants to destroy us body and soul. But we do not need to be afraid, because for us fights the valiant one. Ask ye, who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord. By the way, Sabaoth means the heavenly host. He's talking about he is the Lord of the angelic armies. The angelic armies are mighty, but Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of all, God in the flesh. And he came to defeat the devil. And that's exactly what he did. He does that here in Mark chapter 9. In his great compassion, he comes to the aid of the boy with the demon. He commands the evil spirit to come out of the boy, and the evil spirit obeys him because he has no choice, because Jesus Christ is Lord. The devil is an evil angel, but Jesus Christ is the creator and the Lord of the universe. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. The devil brings bondage, misery, and death. Jesus Christ brings freedom and joy and life. Number one, Jesus Christ brings freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5, 1. Jesus Christ set that little boy free from the power of the evil spirit, defeating the devil once again. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has set us free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, one of the ways I define freedom is the ability to say no. If you can't say no, no, I'm not going to do that, then you're not truly free in that area of your life. Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, the ability to say no. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, the Bible says, there is freedom. The Spirit gives us the ability to say no to the devil when he tempts us or lies to us or tries to get us to do something that is contrary to God's word. The Spirit gives us the ability to say no to the world when it tries to pressure us into going along with their ideas and with their values and sinning against the Lord. The Spirit gives us the ability to say no to our own sinful nature when it tries to get us to give in to our cravings and desires. That's true freedom, the ability to say no to the devil, to the world, and to our sinful nature. And Jesus is the only one who can bring us that freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Second of all, Christ brings joy. John 15, 11, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The devil wants to make us slaves and the devil wants to make us miserable. And in our culture, he's doing a very effective job of that. In our culture, depression is at an all-time high. Mental illness is at an all-time high. Suicide rates are at an all-time high. That's the work of the evil one among us. But Christ has come to bring us his joy into our lives. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. Christ brings his abundant love into our lives. A few weeks ago, we talked about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses all knowledge. And of course, the Lord brings peace, the peace that passes all understanding, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that comes from knowing our sins are truly and fully forgiven. The peace that knows about God's promise of eternal life in heaven with him. The peace that comes through Jesus Christ. Where there's both love and peace, there's going to be joy. It's inevitable. Those are the ingredients for a joyful life. Jesus wants you to experience his love, his joy, and his peace in your life. And he wants your joy to be full. Finally, Jesus brings life. He brings freedom. He brings joy. He brings life. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's the abundant life, right? Thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes so that we might have life and have it abundantly. In terms of abundantly, Jesus means in terms of quality and in terms of quantity. An abundant life in terms of quality is because Jesus abundantly fills our life with his love, his joy, and his peace. He gets rid of the bondage and misery of the devil and replaces it with freedom and joy. But it is abundant in terms of quantity because he gives us eternal life. A life that never ends. Eternal life, which cannot be taken away from us, not even by the enemy. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus says, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.